Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from the MTS Center press box high atop the ice surface. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, where the Winnipeg Jets have just defeated the Boston Bruins by a 3-1 margin. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by my analyst, Richard Pollock, and producer, Michael Remus. Richard, about 3 hours ago prior to puck drop, if I told you that the Boston Bruins dominated the Winnipeg Jets for 50 minutes, 5-0, minutes, you would have probably predicted that this would have been a 3-1 Bruins win, maybe a 4-1 Bruins win. But after 50 minutes of tonight's game, the Bruins were by far the better team, and it only took 10 minutes, and the Winnipeg Jets managed to pull a rabbit out of the hat and escape tonight with a 3-1 victory.
Yeah, you know, Drew, when you keep a game close in the National Hockey League, it's a bounce here, a bounce there, and you take your chances. The truth of the matter is, there's one reason that the Jets were even in tonight's game, and that was Andre Pavlik.
Yeah.
And if he was not on his game and didn't make a couple of brilliant saves on cross-ice plays that had him moving from one post to the other, the Jets would have been down 3-4 nothing, and the Bruins would have just salted it away by just clogging the neutral zone. That wasn't the case tonight. The Jets had spurts. Blake Wheeler was the best forward tonight, and that showed on the scoreboard. It's one of those nights where it was indicative, and the Jets are heading into a huge weekend, you know, Thursday, Friday against the Capitals, and Sunday against Tampa Bay, two teams that are below them in the standings and, of course, in their division. And they're primed to take a stranglehold on the division with Carolina losing.
Absolutely right. If this is a four-game homestand for the Jets, and if you had picked one of the four games where the Jets were going to, you'd be okay with a Jets loss. It would have been this game. Just because Boston, I mean, undoubtedly, you could see it on the ice tonight, never mind what the scoreboard ended up showing at the end of the game. Boston was by far a better team than the Winnipeg Jets. It, you know, for the first 50 minutes of this game, with the exception of, you know, a shift here or a shift there, the Boston Bruins took the play to the Winnipeg Jets and just dominated them on the forecheck, dominated them in the neutral zone. Just everything about this game screamed that it was going to be a Boston Bruins victory until the Jets were able to tie it up. You know, like you said, we said in the press box when we were talking during the course of the game, a one-goal lead is never a safe lead.
Never.
And in this case, the Bruins' inability to take advantage of a number of opportunities, quality scoring chances that probably 80% of the time they capitalize on, kept the Jets having a pulse, kept them having some life, and the Jets took advantage of it.
They did. I mean, you take advantage of the opportunities, and you can pull out games like this against A, better teams, and B, in a game that you weren't the better team on the ice, never mind on paper, on the ice, you run with it. Obviously, at home is a huge benefit, but the Bruins are a team that are superior to the Jets, and that's a huge, huge victory, confidence builder, and of course, getting that division lead. And it's just important to be able in the mindset to have the division lead going into these huge divisional games.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, and you know, I think it is a sign of probably a maturing team to some degree that, you know, this is really one of the first games that I can think of since the Jets have returned where they have been badly outplayed by a better opponent and still managed to come away with a victory.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's true, Drew. Generally, when that happens, they're on the losing end. But that comes down to goaltending. To the beginning of when we just started this a couple minutes ago. Pavlik's the key. Pavlik's been the key to the whole stretch. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He is the reason that this team's been streaking. He's the reason, very much so, that they struggled at the beginning of the season. They've certainly clamped down defensively, don't get me wrong. But he's made some key saves, and that's vital to the cause. And it masks a lot of problems, just as when he wasn't playing well, a lot of the problems were maybe even looked worse than they were.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the Jets are built with Andre Pavlik behind them, and they're going to have to keep relying on him. I mean, Al Montoya out on the IR. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you expected that Montoya would have gotten one, if not two, starts in the last week or 10 days. Obviously, they can't do it. They have to keep riding Pavlik.
That was retroactive, though.
It was retroactive.
I'm not sure when he can come back. I think it's 7 days. I'll check the rules on that.
Something around there. But, I mean, which means the Jets are going to have to ride Pavlik all this week. The back-to-backs on Thursday, Friday. Probably the Sunday game, because there's been no real indication that he's that close to coming back. But, you know, Andre Pavlik has been the key to the Winnipeg Jets. And it proved it tonight in the course of this Jets victory. Before we get into breaking down the scoreboard, all the talk before the game was Alex Burmistrov returning to action. You know, what did you see in his game tonight that made you think, A, he's maybe turned a page or he's learned a lesson or really anything along those lines?
Nothing really like that, Drew. I think that's a little bit overrated. I do think that he's superior to Patrice Cormier. That's the obvious statement. And he provides, more offense, better puck possession, et cetera, et cetera. Worse face-off play. But aside from that, an upgrade on the ice. But I didn't see anything in his game that would make me think, wow, you know, he's taken another step. That doesn't happen in a week, I don't think. That's something that takes a long time. Took that offensive zone penalty, but overall I thought he was all right.
Played 10 minutes and 2 seconds. 8:03 of that was even strength. He played almost 2 minutes shorthanded because he had some success as a penalty killer with Evander Kane earlier in the year. Interesting to note, he played 10 minutes. Meanwhile, his line mates Eric Tangrady and Chris Thorburn, both around the 5-minute mark. So,
who I actually thought both played well. Now part of that is due to Burmistrov, but I thought Tangrady and Thorburn, if that's what your fourth line is going to give you every night, I mean, obviously 5 minutes there, but it was pretty solid. Thorburn had a good scoring chance. Tangrady laid a hit. They got a little, they got a little bit going there. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, Thorburn 448, Eric Tangrady 551. So Coach Noel really wasn't able to get his fourth line into a complete flow of this game and cycle four lines throughout the whole of the game. Mm-hmm. But when you're up 3-1 and you're trailing for most of the game, that's not much of a surprise, really. Let's break down the scoreboard. The Bruins opened the scoring after a scoreless first period where really Boston definitely controlled the play and they had some good scoring chances. The Jets had a good scoring chance early in the game as well. Blake Wheeler came in down the left wing. Yep. His great speed blew past, was it Seidenberg he blew past?
Yeah, Seidenberg.
Blew past Dennis Seidenberg, cut into the middle and rang it right off the crossbar, the goalpost. That was the Jets' best scoring opportunity in the first period. Boston had a number of good chances back here, including another great save by Andre Pavlik, where he robbed the Bruins player of what looked to be a sure goal.
Yeah, I mean, maybe start with the Wheeler play. Got a step on Seidenberg, who's a good skater. Wheeler was wheeling, pardon the pun, and Auden was off wing, which he's successful at in the past. We talked about, I think, last podcast or last radio show, and he actually was down that wing a bunch of times today. That was part of the strategy tonight. And took advantage and just missed beating Rask on the glove side. Pavlik, in terms of Pavlik's save, moving really well across crease. I don't remember who the shot was by, but just moving well, moving confidently, and taking care of the bottom of the net, making the teams beat him up high, which most every goalie does this day and age, but not allowing a weak one. It's so important. And that certainly wasn't a weak one, but just overall in his game.
Exactly right. So it's 0-0 after 20 minutes, before most of the fans are able to sit down to start the second period. Mm-hmm. 8 seconds in fact, Brad Marchand gets the Bruins on the board. It's an unassisted goal. Zach Bogosian controls the puck in his own zone. He tries to backhand the puck around the boards. Mm-hmm. Doesn't get enough on it. Hits the end boards, comes right back out in front to Brad Marchand, who's all alone. And Brad Marchand usually is not going to miss in that opportunity, especially with catching the goaltender by surprise, who's expecting the puck to ring around the end boards there.
Yeah, Bogosian's pass goes off the boards, then off the net. Marchand takes it from left side to right side, and Pavlik just reacts, pushes off from right to left, and as he pushes off with his stick down, that's when the five hole opens up. Marchand picks five hole. Nice play quickly. Bogosian, bad turnover. You're down 1-0. The place is basically silent for the next 30 minutes of play.
You're not wrong when you say it. It was a quiet crowd because the Jets hadn't given them any reason to be exciting because Boston controlled the game top to bottom. I mean, the scoreboard, the 3-1 scoreboard, will cover a lot of warts, but the number of turnovers by the Jets defensemen in their own zone, by the Jets forwards in their own zone, they just couldn't get anything going. They couldn't get the puck out of their own zone. And the Jets were really fortunate to only be down 1-0 after the second period, after the 40 minutes of the game had been played.
Again, due mainly to Pavlik.
Yes, of course.
And I thought Bufflin had a poor game tonight, just having trouble kind of getting – he's a little bit out of sorts, but
– didn't look like he was – I mean, he just didn't look like he had the same level of engagement as you see when you see good Bufflin. Good Bufflin looks like he wants to destroy everything in his path. Yeah. Just didn't seem to have that level of engagement to my perspective tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, Drew. But the Bruins were coming. They were coming quick. They were skating well. They were passing exceptionally well. They were controlling the game. You're right. And then they were kind of playing it as they wanted to. But the problem there is you get the two. That's the other goal. a second goal, then you really start clogging the zone. Then you really start doing things that you that makes it easy for you to win and forces the Jets to turn the puck over. Wasn't the case because of the goaltending.
Exactly right. Worth noting about the Jets penalty kill, which had been very good the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, had a bit of a step back in Ottawa, giving up a couple power play goals. Tonight, they're perfect on the power play. They kill off They're perfect on the penalty kill. They kill off all four opportunities that Boston had on the power play. A very solid job in their own zone in those instances.
Yeah, doing a good job of blocking the cross crease passes, doing a job of being pretty aggressive at times, and you have to like what they're doing on the PK overall. They've really improved. Obviously, they're just awful at the beginning of the season, so their stats don't necessarily indicate the improvement, because I think, what are they, 26th, 27th now?
That's right.
But they've really improved, obviously, over the past 10
years. If you look at it in a vacuum, if you look at it over the last 3 weeks or a month, they'd probably be top five in the league, I would think.
It's a good question. I know the Bruins are something like, 99%, Michael was saying, or 98% on the road this year?
Yeah.
Penalty kill? Yeah, Rick Roth was saying that of the Rona Roundtable, who's loaned us Michael Remus for this podcast.
So after 40 minutes, it's a 1-0 Boston lead.
Remus, what time do we need to have you home by?
1-0 Boston after 40 minutes. The Jets, again, for the first 10 minutes of the third period, still don't show much in terms of life. Mm-hmm. Boston is still taking the play to them. But as you say, it's only a one-goal lead, so you never know how quickly it's going to change. And it changed at the 11:44 mark of the third period. Blake Wheeler gets the goal. Just a beautiful deflection off of a shot from Zach Bogosian. Play starts deep in the Bruins zone, comes out to Bufflin on the left point. He cross ice to Bogosian on the right point.
Should be the number one unit, those two guys in the back end. I mean, Jokinen's got to get off the point, but I mean, talk about that anymore, my head will blow up. It will, but my head will explode if I have to talk about that anymore. But yeah, Drew, exactly. So the puck comes up from the deep in the zone, comes to Bufflin, who's on the left point. He makes a pass to Bogosian on the right point. Bogosian puts a nice puck low. Wheeler's cutting into the middle. Nice tip. Catches Rask going the other way. It's 1-1. Changes the environment in the arena. Gives the Jets confidence. And it's a whole new ballgame. And, the Jets basically know, hey, we don't screw up here. We're going to get a point against a good team. And I'm sure they probably know Caroline. Might not have known, but Caroline obviously was losing concurrently. And,
Yeah, worth noting, of course, that goal came on the power play. I should have mentioned that.
Yeah,
the power play at 11:44. And so, you've been outplayed for 45, 50 minutes of the game, and all of a sudden you're 1-1. And I leaned over to you and said, the Jets would happily take their 1 point right now and run away, because they didn't even deserve it at that point. Lo and behold, a minute later, 57 seconds later to be exact, Evander Kane.
And by the way, quickly get in there. I don't think it's so much the Jets played a bad game.
I think Boston
Boston kind of imposed their will and played a really good game. Like, I don't think the Jets didn't bring it. I don't think the Jets, didn't do anything. Like, we're dogging it. I just think the Jets just weren't as good of a hockey team, and we're being outplayed. And the puck was being controlled and game controlled by a better team.
That's a fair point, because the talent disparity between the two teams was readily evident on the ice.
Yeah.
But a minute later, 57 seconds after the Jets tie the game up, you have a shot from really just sort of a shot through traffic by Grant Clitsam, just trying to get it on the net. Tuukka Rask misplays it. Squirts through him and sits there in the crease. Evander Kane comes in out of nowhere, really. I think he's at the end of a shift, almost.
I don't know if he's at the end of a shift, Drew, but Ference, I assume, was the one who blew that coverage. I believe Ference, if I recall correctly, I don't have the game sheet here, Boychuk was playing with Ference. Ference usually plays with McQuaid. Remember, McQuaid got injured in the first period, never came back.
That's
so they played 5D, and they were matching him up. It looked like Boychuk stepped out on the Jets shooter. I forget who it was. Might have been Antropov. And what happened there was Boychuk stepped out, and he was a little bit high. And then I think it was Bergeron and Ference. I'm not sure if it was a communication problem or what exactly happened there. I wanted Ezzy to ask Julian. I'm not sure if he was able to or not. But in any event, kind of Kane snuck back door. Rask got to have it in any event, but he doesn't. And Kane gets backdoor, and there's one player on the Jets that you want with that puck sitting there, and that's Kane.
Well, any of us could have done that. It was a wide open net, mm-hmm. and
but he's quick to it.
Of course, you're quick to it. Yeah. Tuukka Rask has got to be killing himself for letting that puck go through him. It was it's one thing if it's a rebound that comes out in front of him, because his guys are there. It's a rebound that comes through him.
But you could see he didn't feel he had it, right?
Yeah. It comes through him. It sits there. Kane puts it into the empty net, and it's 2-1 Jets. And there's just about 7 minutes, little over 7 minutes left in this game, and all of a sudden the entire arena is going crazy, and no one's quite sure how the Jets have a 2-1 lead.
Yeah, simple plays, putting the puck on net, and some mistakes. You're playing teams. The game is a game of mistakes. Bogosian's mistake, that mistake by Rask, and kind of a coverage issue, but Rask is really to blame on that one. You can say what you will about the power play goal against by Boston, but it's a game of mistakes.
The Jets go into shutdown mode for the next 7 minutes, and they do a pretty good job at it.
They do. They did a really good job. They clogged the neutral zone. They made Boston either dump it in and were quick to get back to it or try and make extra moves at the line. I thought they played it pretty well. And if you want to go to that third goal, that was really caused by Chara trying to force it at the line, kind of in line with what we're talking about. Go through two guys. They stood him up at the line. I think it was Ladd. Stood him up the line, I forget who it was, and then Ladd made the pass to Wheeler, and the puck's in the net, it's over.
Yeah.
So
it was Little made the first play up to Ladd, and then Ladd pushes it up to Wheeler.
But Little trapped with a defenseman, I believe.
Yeah.
So they stood him up at the line, and they made Chara want to make a move to create something, because dumping it in may not have been any guarantee, obviously. And a puck out all the way to the other side, down the ice, may have been the end of the game, so...
And it's 3-1, and it really happened in a blink of an eye that the Winnipeg Jets ended up winning this game.
Yeah, once they got the momentum, it was tough to stop. They sniffed out the win, and Drew, some of you talk about playing full 60 minutes. They didn't play, maybe they would have liked to play better, but Boston had a large part in that, in my opinion. In any event, the last 10 minutes, they played really well. And sometimes, you play the 10 minutes of successful hockey, and you get the victory, and maybe... Most oftentimes it's against poor competition. But nonetheless, tonight was against Boston team. Now, Boston team really did seem to miss David Krejci tonight. Obviously, they're going to miss David Krejci. But both teams have injuries, so no excuses.
That's right. Injuries are just a fact of the matter in the NHL this year. You look at the time on ice leaders for the Winnipeg Jets. In terms of the forwards, Evander Kane leads the Jets forwards with 21 minutes and 37 seconds. Three stars in tonight's game. The third star from the Boston Bruins, Brad Marchand. The second star from the Winnipeg Jets with two goals is Blake Wheeler. And the first star, as we mentioned, the only reason the Jets were in the game and still had a chance to eventually win it was Andre Pavlik with the first star of the game. Jets next in action Thursday night against the Washington Capitals. They play them back-to-back Thursday night and then Friday night here at MTS Center. We remind you, tomorrow night, 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. on TSN 1290. It's NHL Midweek with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll have post-game podcasts on Thursday night and Friday night following those two games. And then Saturday afternoon, 12 noon to 3 p.m. on TSN 1290. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And the website, of course, is www.illegalcurve.com. For Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.